Hi, everyone. You're listening to Who I Met Today, and I'm your host, Pam Lamp. I'm all about doing one tiny new thing every single day. And on this podcast, I invite you to come along with me and discover something new through conversations with people from all walks of life. I hope you enjoy listening to these interviews and exploring new territory with me. For more people stories and episodes, please visit my website, whoimettoday.com. My guest today is Boston dermatologist Dr. Julia Siegel. With a confusing and mind-boggling, and also expensive, supply of skincare products on the market, it's tough to figure out what we really need to purchase for our skincare routines. Dr. Siegel is here to share drugstore products that really work, and I can't wait to hear what she has to say. Welcome, Julia. Thanks so much for being here today.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Well, I'm excited too. I know skincare is big business. We can't open a magazine or watch a morning show or read an online site without lots of information coming at us about what we should and shouldn't be doing, should and shouldn't be using for our skin. It's a lot. I think it's overwhelming and intimidating. And if we do everything we hear we should do, it gets to be really expensive really fast. So you've agreed to share some skincare basics and products with us, and I could not be more excited about all of this. But before we dive in, let's start off with you giving listeners a cocktail version of your background.
Yes, definitely. So I'm a dermatologist in the Boston area, and my interest in dermatology started from a very young age. I grew up in Massachusetts in a very outdoorsy family. And my parents stressed the importance of sunscreen from a young age, to the point where when my sister and I were, you know, 3 or 4 years old, they came down one day and we had covered ourselves in yogurt and we were saying sunshine lotion. So we were very excited for probably 2 or 3 years old. We were very excited from a young age. And then my interest in dermatology really developed when I struggled with acne myself as a teenager. And once my acne cleared, my confidence really improved and my quality of life really improved. And after that experience, you know, as a teenager, I said, I want to be a dermatologist. And as I, you know, went to medical school and learned more about it, I saw that dermatologists have a huge ability to improve their patients' quality of life. A lot of skin conditions are visible to the outside world. They cause discomfort day to day. And when you can get someone clear of eczema, psoriasis, acne, any of these chronic conditions, it just really, really improves their quality of life. So I love that aspect as well as the preventative aspect of dermatology. We have a huge role in teaching people how to protect themselves from skin cancer. And then also anti-aging, which is what we're going to be talking about as well. So with a lot of these products and practices, we can make a big difference in how our skin ages and in preventing skin cancers and other conditions. And then I've also always loved the psychological aspect of dermatology. Both of my parents are psychologists, so I was sort of open to that from a young age as well. And a lot of skin conditions affect us psychologically, again, because your skin is so visible to the outside world and you feel these conditions every day. So that can make a big difference. And so I went to medical school at UMass in Worcester. And then I did my dermatology training at Brown in Rhode Island, which was wonderful. And now I've been at Boston Dermatology and Laser Center in Boston. And that has been a great experience. And I love practicing there.
Do you have a specialty, Julia?
No, I'm a general dermatologist, so I see all sorts of medical dermatology. I see pediatrics and adults, and then I also do cosmetics. So I'm sort of across the board and surgical dermatology as well.
Well, let's jump in. Can you please walk us through the steps of a good skincare routine, morning and night, regardless of our age? And then we'll kind of branch out from there.
Yes, definitely. So the most important part of the skincare routine is sunscreen or sun protection. And this is important in terms of preventing certain skincare conditions, but also in terms of preventing aging. So sunscreen should be worn every single day, whether it's sunny or cloudy or raining, winter, summer. Of course, it's more important in the summer months when it's very, you know, when it's warmer and sunny, but it's important for every day. And my husband always jokes with me because he knows it bothers me. He says, you can't get burnt on a cloudy day, but that is absolutely not true. it is very important to protect yourself, even on the cloudy days, because the UV rays do come through there. So I would say SPF 30 or higher every single day.
Julia, I grew up back in the day when a deep, dark tan was the goal. I was a lifeguard, and I just cringe at how much sun I got. Luckily, we know better now. But do you recommend the same sunscreen for your body and your face?
So I actually recommend different sunscreens for the face and the body, mostly because people like the feel of their facial sunscreens. And it's very important for someone to be consistent with wearing sunscreen. They have to like the feel of the sunscreen. And a lot of the sunscreens that we use on the body might feel too greasy, or they might not be as elegant of a formulation, and people won't be as inclined to put them on their face. So for the body, I recommend one, you know, that rubs in well, that you like the feel of, at least SPF 30 or higher. But for the face, I find people like ones that rub into the skin. They blend well with makeup if someone's wearing makeup, and they just tend to be these more elegant formulations that people like. So I don't know if you want me to go into specific suggestions for sunscreen, if you want to talk about that later.
I would love you to go into specific suggestions. I use Elta MD Sheer Facial Sunscreen on my face, obviously. I think it's really, like you said, elegant and silky under makeup. It doesn't flake. It's not heavy. And that's one that I do buy at the dermatology office, so it's not inexpensive. Do you have other brands that you might recommend?
Yes. So I love the Elta MD products as well. We do have those at our office too. I also really like Tizo, T-I-Z-O sunscreens. These are mineral only. So T-I-Z-O is meant to stand for titanium dioxide, zinc oxide, which are the two main mineral sunscreen ingredients. And they make an AM replenish and an AM primer that are both really smooth, go on the skin really well. They're better for people who maybe have oilier skin that want a matte finish, but they rub in really well. And then Super Goop makes two that I love. They make Unseen Sunscreen, which is a chemical sunscreen, but it's clear and it can rub on top of makeup. It's great for reapplying if you don't want to disturb your current makeup, but if you need to be reapplying throughout the day. Or the Super Goop Sheer Screen is a mineral sunscreen that rubs in really well. So those are some of my favorites for the face, in addition to the Elta MD products.
Okay, stop right there. So I can put sunscreen on over my makeup throughout the day? I've never done that. I put it on once and that's kind of it, unless I'm at the beach or something like that. But you can put it on over makeup?
Yes. So if you're going to be outside, even if you're going on a long walk, you really should be reapplying every 2 hours. So I have this joke. I was out with my mom and my aunt walking on Newberry Street, and I made them stop in Sephora so we could reapply with the samples before we continued to walk, because you really should be reapplying every 2 hours. Now, it's ideal to put it on every morning before your makeup, but when you're reapplying, you're not going to go and wash your face again before you put it on. So you want something that you can put on top of the makeup.
And it doesn't mess up your makeup.
Not this Unseen sunscreen. Now, some of them might, you know, some that are require more work to rub it in could, but I have found that the Super Goop Unseen sunscreen is very easy to use on top of makeup for reapplication.
Okay, I'm going to put all of these in the show notes, listeners, so no need to take notes as we chat. Now, the ones that you mentioned, are any of them available at Target or Walgreens, or are these all online or at the dermatology office?
So the Super Goop products tend to be at places like Sephora or these dermatology, you know, skincare stores or offices. The Tizo, Tizo also is more online. One I didn't mention that I also like that is available at, you know, Target, Walgreens, CVS is the Neutrogena Hydro Boost Sunscreen Serum. And I love this one. This one's actually my mom's favorite. They have an SPF 50 serum that just rubs in really nicely, really elegantly. I find that men like this one too, because it rubs in easily, even to bearded areas. It doesn't get stuck in the hair, doesn't, you know, make the hair look white. So this is a great option that you can get at a drugstore.
Okay, good to know. Now, what about sunscreen for the body?
So sunscreen for the body, I love, my dad actually got me into this, the Equate brand from Walmart. They make a large pump bottle of sunscreen, the Equate Sport. It goes on really easily. It's SPF 50. It does not rub off. It doesn't get on your clothing. And it's relatively inexpensive. So I think a place to save is for your body sunscreen, because that will rub in more easily. You're not going to be as worried about pairing it with other products on your body. So I love the Equate Sport. I love Copper Tone Sport. CVS and Walgreens make their own brands that are similar to this as well. And when I am using body sunscreen, I usually am doing an SPF 50 because, you know, I tend to be outside more if I'm putting it all over the body.
Okay. So we've got our sunscreen put on in the morning. And now what do we add?
For the morning routine, I would start with a gentle cleanser, then any active serum, such as a vitamin C serum or a peptide serum, then a moisturizer or a hyaluronic acid serum, then the sunscreen, and then any makeup that you're wearing on top of that.
Okay, so let's drill down a little bit. A gentle cleanser. I use either a baby wash, a baby shampoo wash, or CeraVe, is that how you pronounce it?
Yes.
Facial cleanser. What do you recommend?
I love the CeraVe products as well. I use the CeraVe foaming wash. I also love the La Roche-Posay products. There's a lot out there, and it's really just what you like the feel of. I experiment with a lot of different ones because we do get samples at these different conferences. So I've tried many different ones. Anything that you like the feel of on your skin that isn't drying you out too much. And then, of course, it's different for people that have different conditions. So if you have more oily skin versus drier skin, if you're acne prone, if you're eczema prone, all of those things factor into the best cleanser.
All right. So after the cleanser, you mentioned a serum. So let's talk about those.
Yes. So a lot of people like using vitamin C serum. This is known to prevent pigment. So if you're someone who tends to get a lot of dark spots, this will prevent new dark spots from forming, or will help to prevent, you know, it won't completely. And it also stimulates collagen production. So there are many different vitamin C serums out there. The important thing for a vitamin C serum is stability, because it tends to degrade more quickly. And when it has degraded, when it's unstable, it's not as effective. So a lot of dermatologists recommend SkinCeuticals CE Ferulic Vitamin C Serum because it is more stable. So it stays effective for longer, but it is one of the more expensive vitamin C serums out there.
That's exactly what I use, and it is pricey. It's upwards of $150 a bottle, which lasts a long time, but I've heard that is quote unquote the gold standard. What are alternatives for folks who may not want to spend that much on a serum, but they still want the effects of the vitamin C?
There are a lot of great drugstore brand vitamin C's now out there. Vanna Cream makes one for people who have more sensitive skin. Olay makes them. There's a lot of different companies that you can find at your Target, Walgreens, CVS that make them. And they're totally fine, but they just might degrade a little bit faster. So the thing to look for vitamin C degradation is a change in the color. It usually will look a little bit yellowish, clear to yellowish when it's in its, you know, most stable form. And then as it starts to degrade, it does get more orange, darker yellow. So if you notice your serum starting to change color, that's when it's time to get the next one.
Well, I might try one of those drugstore brands and just see if I can tell the difference. So after a serum, then you set a moisturizer.
Yes.
Let's talk about those, please.
So moisturizers are a place where you do not need to spend a lot of money, because the drugstore moisturizers, in my opinion, are just as good as the very expensive moisturizers. So I personally love CeraVe Moisturizing Cream or Cetaphil Moisturizing Cream. These are thicker creams that come in tubs. So they might be too thick for some people, but they don't feel greasy and they tend to rub in really well. If you want something lighter, I also love the Vanna Cream Daily Facial Moisturizer. This has ceramides in it, which the CeraVe products do as well. And that helps replenish the lipid layer in your skin and helps prevent water loss as well. So I think a drugstore moisturizer is great. I would experiment with a few different ones and see what you like the feel of. And you do not need to spend a lot of money on the moisturizer.
And I think it's important to mention that while we're moisturizing our face, we shouldn't neglect our neck and our hands.
Exactly. The neck and the hands and even the chest are really important areas to target with all of our skincare treatments. So, you know, with retinoids as well, which we'll talk about, and with sunscreens and with the serums that you're using, all of these areas, you can prevent aging on all of these areas with these products.
Julia, how might this routine differ as we move from our 30s to our 40s to our 50s and beyond? Is it basically the same routine throughout those decades, or do some things change in the morning?
The biggest change is your skin's ability to hold on to water. So as you get into your 40s and 50s and beyond, you do start to lose that ability to hold on to water, and your skin does dry out more easily. So you may find yourself needing thicker moisturizers, moisturizing creams that come in tubs, for example, over the lotions that are water-based and come in pump bottles. And you might need to moisturize more frequently as well. So I often tell my patients in their 50s and beyond that they should be moisturizing the body twice a day if they can. And that's including after the shower when the skin is still a little bit damp, should be one of those applications. But moisturizing becomes a lot more important as you get a little bit older.
I have one more question about the sunscreen. I put on sunscreen and use that as my moisturizer in the morning. Should I be using a separate moisturizer on top of the sunscreen?
No, that's completely fine. If you have a product that is both a moisturizer and a sunscreen, that is great.
Okay. Let's talk about the evening. I'm always envious of my husband. My apologies to him, because when it's time to go to bed, he brushes his teeth and hops in bed. And there I go with all my skincare rituals. So I'm anxious to have you tell me what I really need to be doing and what I can skip.
Definitely. So the most important component of your evening routine is a retinoid. And we'll talk a little bit about what a retinoid is, retinoids versus retinols. But retinoid is the overall umbrella category that actually includes prescription strength retinoids and retinols. And these increase the turnover of the skin cells. They actually thicken the skin, the top layer of the epidermis, as well as the dermis underneath, and they promote collagen production. So they do prevent fine lines and wrinkles, and they make a huge difference to your skin if you use them consistently over time. Now, it does take at least 3 months to see a difference if you're about to start a retinoid, so you have to be patient with it, and they can be irritating at times. There are tips and tricks for how to make them less irritating, but that is the most important component of the evening routine.
Do you suggest a drugstore brand, or is this something that you should get the prescription variety from a doctor?
I believe that the prescription tretinoin will work a lot better for you than an over-the-counter retinol, but some people have a lot of trouble tolerating the prescription tretinoin. So if you can tolerate it, that's the best. If you can't, I would start with an over-the-counter retinol, use that for, you know, several months, and then try to transition into the prescription. And in terms of the prescription, a lot of people, they wash their face and then they put the tretinoin on immediately and then they go to bed. And that's what's creating this inflammation, irritation, redness, dryness, scaling. So what you can do is you can wash your face, put on a moisturizer first, then put on the retinoid, then put on the moisturizer again. We call it a moisturizer sandwich. And that will really protect your skin, but also keep the efficacy of the retinoid. You can even delay putting these things on until an hour after washing your face, and that will make it more tolerable. So most people can tolerate a retinoid. It's just about how they put it on.
And I think another key is to use just a small amount. Less is more here. Is that correct?
Exactly. We recommend a pea-sized amount for the entire face.
And how close to your eyes can you get, Julia, with that cream?
So in the beginning, I would stay away from your under eyes. As you get more used to it, or if you're someone who has used a retinol cream under your eyes, you can slowly creep up, but only do it one night a week. Make sure you're tolerating it well. You know, make sure to load up on the moisturizer on top of it. If you're doing fine two nights a week, doing fine three nights a week. So you can slowly work your way up. I personally, at this point, can tolerate the 0.1% tretinoin all the way up under my eyes. But I would not suggest that anyone just starts with that because it is going to be a lot more irritating there.
And do you use it on the sides and above your eyes also?
I use it on the sides. I haven't done it on my eyelids, but there are several retinol products that are meant for the eyelids. ROC just came out with a under eye and upper eyelid eye cream that both have retinols in them. So I think if you wanted to treat those areas, I would start with the over-the-counter retinols. Make sure you were tolerating it before you approached it with a prescription retinoid.
Okay. So we wash our face, we apply moisturizer, the retinoid, more moisturizer, or however, whatever combination works for you. What about eye cream? Eye creams are so expensive. Do you have some suggestions for some affordable, well-working ones?
Yes, definitely. So whichever eye cream you choose is going to depend on what your concerns are. Sometimes people have fine lines around the eyes. Some people have more puffiness. Some people have more dark spots. So you should choose your ingredients based on your concern. So if you have fine lines or sort of crepey skin around the eyes, then you do want something with a retinol. The ROC brand I like a lot. The ROC eye cream is in the $20 to $25 range. For puffiness, it's important to have something with caffeine in it. So there's a brand called Vichy Lift Active Eye Cream that has caffeine in it. So $35 at Walgreens for the Vichy Lift Active. Caffeine is also helpful if you have dark areas under the eyes. The dark areas can be caused by a number of things, but often we start to see more of the veins under our eyes as we get a little bit older and the skin thins. So the caffeine can help constrict the vessels a little bit, but the retinol can actually help thicken that skin. So something with retinol or something with caffeine can both be effective for dark under eyes.
What does your mom use, since I'm guessing she's about my age?
Yeah, you know, my mom loves the Hydro Boost products. She's very simple in terms of her skincare routine. So she kind of just sticks to Hydro Boost, and she does the TIZO, the Tizo sunscreen.
What's Hydro Boost, Julia? Is Hydro Boost a drugstore brand?
Yes. So that's Neutrogena Hydro Boost. They make the SPF serum that we were talking about a little bit earlier. So she likes that for the sunscreen. And then she likes Neutrogena Hydro Boost moisturizer. It comes in a little tub as her moisturizer. So she uses those two products, and then she uses the Tizo AM Replenish sunscreen.
Let me ask you a question. If these $20 and $30 eye creams work, why are there so many $150 eye creams on the market?
Sometimes these more expensive creams, sometimes you're paying for the brand, you're paying for the name. You know, a lot of people have heard of things like La Mer. There's some very sort of high-end names out there. So often you're paying for the name. Sometimes these companies have put in other ingredients such as peptides, which require a lot more sort of research to go into them, research and development, a lot more money goes into that. And the peptides, the idea with peptides is that they're the building blocks for making collagen and elastin and these components of the skin that cause the skin to appear more firm and plump. And if you introduce the building blocks, the peptides, into the skin, the idea is that your skin will then see these building blocks and form them into collagen or elastin and create more of a firm, plump component to your skin. Now, we don't know for sure how well this works with different peptides. There are certain companies that have done a lot of research. Skin Medica has a serum called TNS, Total Nutrient Support Serum, which a lot of people really like and find great for anti-aging, and that is a peptide-based serum. But some of these eye creams also have peptides in them, and I think that can make them more expensive. I don't know if that's necessarily... Well, I should say, you know, if you want to do everything you can possibly do, it doesn't hurt to add those in, but you shouldn't feel like you have to add those in.
Got it.
Back to the sunscreens. Trader Joe's does make a dupe, essentially, of the Supergoop Unseen sunscreen, which is the one we were saying can go on top of makeup. And it's only $8.99 compared to $38. So that's a good thing to know about, which I didn't mention.
That's a great thing to know about. Do you happen to know the name of it?
Yes, it's Trader Joe's Daily Facial Sunscreen Broad Spectrum SPF 40 Invisible Gel.
Thank you. That's wonderful information. Julia, how important are facials as we get older?
So I view facials more as a spa experience and an enjoyable experience, like a pedicure. Unless you do them very regularly, for example, monthly, they're not going to make a huge difference for your skin. Usually, facials are using certain active ingredients. They might be using hyaluronic acid. They might be using vitamin C. They might be using peptide serums. If you're only getting that done one time, it's not going to make a difference. It feels great. It feels really nice. It might help lower stress, and that can be great for your skin overall. But occasional facials are more like a relaxing spa treatment that might help your overall well-being, but are not going to make a huge difference for your skin. Some people who do them every single month, that might make more of a difference.
What about brown spots? I think you mentioned that the retinoids and the vitamin C serum can help with brown spots. I'm thinking on my hands. You know, I use those products and I still have brown spots on my hands. Are those inevitable, or is there something else that we can do?
So there are a lot of different types of brown spots that develop as we get older. One of the most common ones, probably what you're referring to, are lentigines or sunspots that come over time after you've had sun exposure throughout your life. There are also other spots that are more raised called seborrheic keratoses, sort of like stuck-on spots. Then, of course, there are moles as well. And then you always want to make sure nothing is an atypical mole, or, you know, melanoma, of course, is also possible to develop anywhere on the body, particularly areas that have gotten sun. But for benign sunspots, like you're talking about, there are some topicals that can help a little bit. The most effective treatment is actually laser for these, or chemical peels. We use a couple of different types of lasers for sunspots on the hands. One is called the Fraxel laser, and Fraxel treats the whole back of the hand, and then you get the sun damage on the top of the skin sort of peeling off, flaking off after about 4 days, and it reveals the fresh skin underneath. And that can get rid of a lot of sort of the background sunspots. Or we use another laser called the Pico laser, which targets individual sunspots and is great if you have just a few of them that you want to target. In terms of topical creams, there's another one that we haven't mentioned called Systeamine cream. So Systeamine cream, you leave it on just for 15 minutes a day and then you rinse it off. And it has been shown to help lighten pigment. So there was a brand that was around for a while called Cyspera, C-Y-S-P-E-R-A. And now there's a newer one that's just come out called Sente, Systeamine HSA Pigment and Tone Corrector, that I've just learned about at our dermatology conference in San Diego. And that seems to be a great option as well. These ones are a little more expensive, though. These are, you know, $150+ range. For something less expensive, there's a new one that's available on Amazon called APC, or All-Purpose Systeamine 5% cream, and it's more in the $50 range. So if you wanted to try something out first before committing to something more expensive, I would start with that and you apply it and then leave it on just for 15 minutes daily.
Final question. Crepey skin. I see advertisements for products that can miraculously turn the crepey skin on your arms and legs back into smooth skin. But I've talked to a number of people who say that doesn't work. What are your thoughts on that?
So crepey skin is very normal as we age, and particularly in people who have had a lot of sun exposure in their lives. And it is a normal part of aging, and I have a lot of patients coming in really bothered by it. And a lot of people who actually think it happened overnight. Sometimes people will come in. I recently had a 68-year-old patient. She came in and she said, "My arms suddenly changed overnight." And it's tough because people do experience it in that way. And of course, it's not an overnight change. It's something that's been happening throughout the years. But there's usually one day where someone wakes up and they see it. So I would say the most important thing to preventing it is sunscreen all the time. You know, sunscreen whenever you're outside, even if you're going for a 20-minute walk. If your arms are out, they should be covered in sunscreen. Once you have crepey skin, moisturizers can help the skin look more plumped. So it can help decrease the appearance of some of those lines because it plumps up the skin. Now, it's not actually getting rid of the crepey skin. It's just while you're using the moisturizer. But I would say moisturizer, like the CeraVe moisturizing cream, using it 2-3 times a day, that will help. Using a humidifier in your bedroom as well will help. That will prevent your skin from drying out, particularly in the winter when the heat creates a really dry air in our rooms. And then there are fillers called biostimulator fillers. Sculptra and Radiesse are the two main ones. And what they do is they actually stimulate collagen production. I don't actually do these in my practice, but a number of dermatologists and plastic surgeons do use these. They're hard to use on really large areas. Generally, people usually start by concentrating them, say, around the knees or wherever someone's most bothered by loose or crepey skin. But they can be done throughout the upper arms if that's an area of concern. And then there's certain energy devices as well. So microneedling with radio frequency, certain devices like that have been used to help with crepey skin. But I would say moisturizing is the easiest thing you can do, and that will make a little bit of a difference. But also acceptance is really important in this scenario. Sometimes I say to people that the best treatment for, you know, what they're concerned about is acceptance, because it's natural to age. It's natural for your skin to change a little bit. And there's a beauty in aging as well.
And be thankful that crepey skin would be our only problem if that's the case.
Exactly.
Julia, I always ask my guests what one new thing they've done or discovered lately. And I'm excited to hear what you're going to share with us.
Yes, definitely. So I have two actually to share. One is from the field of dermatology. So I learned this at the conference. You may have heard of Rogaine or minoxidil for hair loss.
Yes.
But I learned that, you know, people are often concerned about brittle nails and their nails breaking more easily or seeming more thin as they get older. You can actually use Rogaine on the proximal nail fold, which is right where your skin meets the bottom of the nail, and put that on one or two times a day, and it should help increase the strength of your nails and make them less brittle. Now, this hasn't been studied. This is anecdotal, but I thought that was a really interesting, fun fact and something that's easy to try if anyone's concerned about their nails.
Very interesting, fun fact. And Rogaine you can get on Amazon or at the grocery store, is that right?
Exactly. Yep. CVS, Walgreens, Target, any of those places. And the 5% is the most effective. And my second fun fact actually comes from my husband's industry. He's in the beer industry. He works for Sam Adams. We started gardening a little bit more last year, and we're, you know, getting ready to do more this year. And if you put a Tupperware of beer in your garden and put it sort of flush with the ground, it will collect any slugs that might be harming your plants. And they'll all come for the beer. I don't know what that says about slugs, but they'll come for the beer and they'll get off your plants. And it's not a pretty sight what you see once you look in that Tupperware, but but it's a nice little gardening hack.
I'd love to have a picture of that. If you could take
a
picture.
I don't know if you would.
Oh, so you take a Tupperware dish, fill it with beer, and then just set it in the dirt? Flush,
yes,
with the
exactly.
Garden. Okay. Oh, that's a great idea. I know a lot of people that will be trying that.
Yes.
My turn. Mine might not be quite as much fun as yours were. I have been hearing about yoga with Adrienne. Several guests and listeners have raved about Adrienne and her online free YouTube yoga videos. And a couple of months ago, I started doing one of her videos almost every day. It's a 14-minute flexibility video. I'll put it in the show notes. It's short, it's easy, and I can tell the difference. I've had nagging lower back pain for a long time. I've been to PT, I've done their exercises, and it's not horrible, but nothing really seems to zap it, except for this video. When I do it consistently, it really seems to help me all over. So that's my new thing for the day, and I am very happy with it.
That's great. Well, I'd love to try that out too. I love yoga.
She's good. She's very relatable, and I've enjoyed doing this because it works. It makes me very, very consistent. Julia, thanks so very much for being here today. I appreciate your time and your information and all your suggestions.
Thank you for having me. This was a lot of fun.
And that's it for today's show. Thanks so much to Dr. Siegel for being here. If you enjoyed this episode, and I hope you did, I hope you'll listen to other episodes, spread the word about this show, and consider leaving a rating or review. A huge thank you to Brian at Top Tier Audio for his advice and guidance, and thanks to you for tuning in. And remember, I'd love to hear from you if you discover a fun new thing. My email is whoimettoday@gmail.com.